I don't know a lot this morning, but what I do know is this. I was wrong about Trump's possibilities, probabilities, and likelihood of becoming the nominee. I'm more than willing to admit he won, I lost. But I believe we all lost. Because as the Republican nominee, be careful, Democrats, what you wish for. Be careful. There's a lot of things that can happen. Hillary is in no way a shoo-in. She can't shake Bernie yet. She's absolutely not a shoo-in to beat Donald Trump. There's a million factors that will go into this between now and November. Obviously, we'll be on the air every day harping about them, but also trying to give you as much education and information so you can make a choice come this fall. One of the things that came up after last night was, what about a third party? What about a third party run? I got a lot of golf that I have to play. So
you can't do it?
No, I can't do it. But there are more calls than ever for a third party or a third party run. It would have to be, at this point, someone who is A, independently wealthy, someone who is B, already really famous, because you wouldn't have the time or money to spend to get name recognition across the country, and somebody C, who really wants it. That's three tough nuts to crack. So unless you could find, say, somebody that is well-liked enough to get a Ross Perot-like number of 15 to 20% in the general election, that's the only way you could put a wedge in this election. A third-party candidate can't win. Can't win. The problem with that is, who does the third-party candidate interrupt? Do they interrupt and cause the loss of Donald Trump or of Hillary Clinton? And I don't think you can say that now. Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, said if Hillary Clinton's a nominee, he won't get in. That's a guy that's a Republican. Mm-hmm. Moderate Republican, but a Republican. But Bloomberg said, if Hillary's running, I don't want to screw it up for her, I'm not gonna get in. So you have to be rich, you have to be famous, you have to want it, and you have to do all those three right now. You got to announce it noon today.
Can I add a D, a letter D? You have to be liked, because think about it.
Well, but you're not going to win.
Really like?
But you're not going to win.
Really like Clinton?
Did you like Ross Perot? You're not going to win. You're not running to win. You're running to disrupt. But my point is, right now, it's not clear what that disruption would mean. So, in other words, if you're trying to get Hillary Clinton elected, or you're trying to get Donald Trump elected, a third party candidate could screw it up for either one of you.
And I don't think that option is John Kasich. I don't think that's going to happen.
No,
Kasich, if he's staying in to try to that strategy.
Well, as soon as it gets to 12:37, he's out. No. He's said that now. Here's what the president does, and here's where it gets a little frightening. The number one thing that comes up in regards to Trump, who is now a 50-50 shot, is commander-in-chief, the ability to commit your sons and daughters and our sons and daughters to war and to in harm's way. The very sad thing for me for all of this is the people that have been the most ardent supporters of Donald Trump are the ones that will sign up for the draft first. These are the people that populate the military in a volunteer draft or a volunteer Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines like none other. These are people who are serving this country and serving it with pride and distinction. And these are the people who have followed Trump somewhat blindly. And because of that, they will be the first thrown into any conflict he chooses to engage in. Now, you may say, hold on now, Steve, hold on. A campaign's different than actually having the job. And everybody changes when they get the job. That may be true. But from every reaction we've seen to Donald Trump and his thin skin and whatever people say to him at any given time, can you tell me you don't believe he'd commit troops to action that we don't need to commit troops to? Can you tell me he'd ever be the stand down guy? Is he ever going to be the guy to take his foot off the pedal and say the best course of action right now for the United States is no action? Because every time you tell a plane to fly a bombing mission or sailors to go to a very dangerous area of the world and sit off the coast of some knucklehead country who's prepared to shoot at you, you're putting us in harm's way. That's what Donald Trump could do. He also has the nuclear codes. Now, this is where we got to get off his back. He is not Kim Jong-un. I don't believe in any way, shape, or form we go, I know what we'll do. We'll nuke him. First off, Trump is so concerned about himself, he wouldn't put himself in the risk of having a nuclear attack come back this way. Imagine what that would do to his hair. The president obviously has the power of appointments. The appointments are a big deal because when he assembles his cabinet controls the government and the almost 3 million jobs in the government. So those jobs affect your life and my life every single day. The people he puts in those positions are a big deal, and the people he puts in the most important positions at defense, at Secretary of State, and others, Treasury, they will affect your life in every single way, shape, and form. Who are those people going to be? You saw who some of his foreign policy advisors were when he named them a month and a half ago. Nobody knew them, mm-hmm. or they had sketchy pasts at best. He names ambassadors. He names ambassadors to other countries. Why are ambassadors a big deal? They're the first line of relations with countries around the world. Same way with diplomats, the people that speak on behalf of the country. He can't make laws, but he can urge laws to be made. And because of that, and because of the economic policy that the president tries to control and direct, there's $2.5 trillion in the budget. He can't say, I'm going to spend $1 trillion on a nice golf course that I want to build. But he can urge money to be moved in one way or another, and he can direct through threats, intimidation, or just wild speeches. By the way, he's known for all three, that could make the market move by billions of dollars every single day. That affects your 401k, my 401k. That affects your life, no matter how much you think you are or are not in the market. He can issue executive orders, and he will. For all the grief he tried to give Obama over this, every president does it, and he will. He, of course, is in charge of our foreign policy and helped determine foreign policy. There's a technical political term that needs to be used here. He has crapped all over relationships that already exist, and he has made some of them worse already. There is grave concern in Germany, in the UK, in the Far East, and in China about who he is and what he would do with the country. So those are just a snapshot of the basic powers of the presidency and why it's a big deal. And when you fold in the fact that he hasn't elucidated or explained in any way, shape, or form how he's going to get anything done from his stupid Mexican wall to anything else, it's a concern. That's why I'm concerned. That's why I've harped on this for months. That's why I say I've got no axe to grind with Donald Trump personally. He's got a beautiful family that he seems to love very much. It'd be great if he got back on TV. But he is now a 50-50 shot to be the president. And it's not good enough for me to say to you, don't come crying to me when he doesn't deliver on any of his promises when he wins. I believe he's dangerous. Not because he gets up in the morning and wants to be dangerous, but because he's not capable of handling the job. So do I believe Hillary's right for the job? Absolutely not. I never thought I'd be in a position where I'd even consider voting for Hillary Clinton because I don't trust her. I hate the fact that she stood on a tarmac and made up a story about being shot at in a combat zone and would now be commander-in-chief of the military. That's inexcusable. It's outrageous. I don't think she knows how to tell the truth now. But is she more equipped to run this government? Absolutely. You can't argue that. So if you're far right or far left, you've already made up your mind. But the vast majority of America is still in the middle, and there's a lot of Republicans and a lot of Democrats, including the people that don't like Hillary and clearly don't like Trump, who are going to weigh in on this before it's over. And don't forget the fact that we're going to have some very ugly debates. They're going to be huge ratings. They're going to be great reality TV, but very ugly debates that, again, are going to be watched not just here but by the rest of the world. So if you're a Democrat waking up this morning, be careful what you wish for. Trump is very, very, very capable of not only making Hillary Clinton crazy on the campaign trail. I mean, Hillary Clinton is somebody's grandmother. You're going to put your grandmother at that podium over there, and then you're going to put her in. And granted, this is the role she asked for. But Donald Trump has no boundaries. He will stand up there. He will point out that her husband is a man slut, that her husband cheated on her regularly, that she lied about this and lied about that and has been completely dishonest. And if he can find something he can use against her, including stuff that maybe he made up or somebody tweeted to him, he'll use that too. And once it's out in the public domain, what happens? That's what Hillary Clinton is facing. That's what America is facing. And that's what we'll have to look at. Do we need a change in politics? Yes. Has Donald Trump brought forth some of this conversation that could lead to that? Yes. But you don't start a fire to save a house. And that's my concern. We don't have time to get into it now, but who's the vice president going to be? Who is now? Here's a guy in charge of $2.5 trillion. In a manner of speaking, who couldn't keep casinos open in Atlantic City, who has massive business failures left and right, who is in civil court over his Trump University. Here's $2.5 trillion. Have fun. That's why he's dangerous. That's why I'm concerned. And for a guy that's been in public life for 35 years. Early 80s, who's his wingman or his wingwoman? Can you name me one person who, over the course of the time we've known the name Donald Trump, where you go, well, that's his protege? The people closest to him are his kids and his wives. That's a good thing on paper, But anybody who wants to be president of the United States has accumulated some collection of people who want to serve with him or for him. Tell me who those people are. No. Can't name them. That's why I'm concerned.